In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfil his promises to her."
Church affirms that Mary was sinless, which would make her, in our minds, qualified to bear a child who was sinless. Yes, Mary was a remarkable woman, as we'll see this morning, but she was far from being sinless, as even Mary herself testifies in her song, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." She needed the Savior. She recognized that she was a sinner before God, and she was trusting in God to be her Savior, to make her acceptable and righteous before him. And for God to be a Savior to her was not something that she deserved or earned. It was an expression of mercy, which Mary greatly praised for God for in that song of praise. So for God to reveal himself to Mary, a young girl, relatively unknown, living in a despised place, a sinner like the rest of us, to bear, to be the mother for the most important person to grace this earth. What undeserved favor and honor. No wonder Gabriel greets her the way that he does. "Greetings, you who are highly favored." Here's a profound message for us. Message of Advent. God sends his Son to be our Savior. God reveals his loving mercy to sinners like us. How favored we are. God calls us, his people, to be his witnesses of Christ, flawed, imperfect though we are. How favored we are to be his witnesses. How did Mary respond to God's revelation to her that she was highly favored, that she was to bear the mother of the Messiah? She was highly favored. The Lord is with her. The expected response would have been humble amazement. Yes, we can, and we see that. But surprisingly, more than that, we see that Mary was greatly troubled. She was afraid. And it opens our eyes to the profound understanding that Mary had, young though she was, of the person and character of God. That hymn that we sang. What a revelation. That individual who wrote it, it was in 17th, 18th century. A lot of revivals in that time. Probably the fruit of somebody being revived and had that appreciation to dig into the word and to worship God. And that understanding was given to him, and he wonderfully writes the words of that hymn that we sang. Mary as well. Mary had a wonderful revelation of the person and character of God. Like Isaiah the prophet, she was aware of the awesome greatness and holiness and uniqueness of God, which corresponded in her great sense of unworthiness before him. And in her song, she speaks about the mighty one. Holy is his name. 13, 14 year old is what she was. She had that appreciation of the greatness, the awesomeness of the Lord. And I wonder, do we have a true awareness of God's person and character based on his revelation through his word, the scripture, the awesomeness, the greatness, his holiness, his uniqueness? Or is our vision of God far smaller, merely just a bigger version of ourselves as human beings? If our vision of God is truncated, we're not likely to respond to him in the right way, nor represent him rightly to others as well. How does God respond to her reverential fear, her strong sense of unworthiness? Well, in a loving way, he calmed her fear. Do not be afraid. He affirmed his favor to her. Mary, you have found favor with God. Her response would have been wonder and amazement. And she expresses that later in her song. Despite our creaturely distance from an awesome God, God desires to draw us near to him. God desires to extend his favor to us as well. Even just that calling that we've been reflecting on this morning, will you not revive us again? God desires to revive his people, to draw them close to him, to open their understanding of his mercy and his grace and his love and his awesome character. He's high and lifted up. He's holy. He's different. And our only response is to bow and worship and adoration and in service and in witness. How does Mary respond to God's revelation that she would miraculously give birth to the Messiah, God's Son in human flesh? Well, her response is not surprising, is it? It's questions. How will this be? And if we were in her situation, we would, I'm sure, have had lots of questions as well. How does God respond to Mary's questions? Well, God explained how he would bring it to pass. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. An explanation which baffled her mind, baffles our minds. And rightly so, because God's ways are far higher than our ways. God's power is beyond our understanding. And God, recognizing her inability to comprehend the incomprehensible, reminds Mary of what he had already done in her relative Elizabeth, enabling her, who was old and barren, to conceive and is already in her 6 months, for nothing is impossible with God. How wonderful God is at answering our questions, at reassuring us. What a merciful God he is. How did Mary respond to Gabriel's mind-boggling explanation of how she would bear the Messiah? Her response is in three ways. Firstly, faith and belief in God's word and power, expressed in their words, "May it be as you have said." Faith and belief in God's word and power. Secondly, reverence and submission. "I am the Lord's servant." Then thirdly, worship. She bursts forth in a song of praise to God. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And God was pleased with her response of faith, of submission and worship, expressed in words to Elizabeth, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said will be accomplished." And God records her song of worship forever in God's word. Here's a challenge to us this morning. God desires the same response from us to what he asks of us: faith and belief in his word and power. God desires that you have that faith and belief in his word and power. Secondly, reverence and submission to God. "I am the Lord's servant." And God desires worship from us, our hearts overflowing in a song of praise to God. And if that is our response, God is pleased and you will be blessed. If we have that response of faith, but to go from faith to faith to faith, and there is that statement in the scripture, when the Lord comes back, will he find faith on the earth? It's something we should be growing in our faith as we come to know the Lord and as we meditate on his word, that we grow and grow in faith. And as we come to know the Lord, as he becomes higher to us, we become lower. We become lower, and there's that reverence and that submission. But it overflows in worship, isn't it? We love the Lord. We love him. He's beautiful. He's glorious. And he loves us so much. He cares for us. And we should love him more. Worship, hearts overflowing. So Advent, four lights, shining brightly, pointing out Christ. God desires the same from us. Yesterday, we had coffee morning, and we were sitting around tables and having refreshments. And Ian came in and joined. Ian, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but we were sitting around the table with a few individuals who come to the food hub, and Ian shared just naturally over coffee, sharing about but the wonder of the coming of Christ, just about being at a carol service. And what had been said at that carol service, and just very simply dropped it into conversation. We just carried on talking, and a seed was sown. A light, a match was struck and lit. And it's just in these everyday conversations and brushing into contact with people, the Lord can prompt us and put things in our minds and hearts. And we can just strike a little match for the Lord. We can be a light. We've been learning about these individuals being lights. But we're lights, as we sang at the beginning, lights to the world. Kindle in us a mighty flame. That's what God can do in each of us, a mighty flame in us. We're just the wick. But the Lord can come along, and with his fire and with his spirit, we read about John the Baptist, about Revelation, and baptized with fire, the Lord can kindle a fire in our hearts that love can enlarge. There was an evangelist called D.L. Moody. There was something lacking in his preaching, and there was some ladies was listening to him and said, "Look, you need the fire. You need the fire. That's what's missing. The wood is there. There's enthusiasm, human enthusiasm." And he had the gift of the gab. He was a salesperson as well. But the spiritual anointing of the Spirit was not there. You need the fire. He was humbled by that. He didn't like being told that. But God challenged him. And he began to pray for that. And he was walking through the streets of Chicago when the fire descended upon him. And he had to go in and book a room. He said the fire was so great, filled with the love of Christ. And he had to, he had to get off the streets. And I don't know what the physical manifestation of that was, but he had to get in off the street and he had to say, "God, stop it. It's too much for me to bear." The love of God shed abroad in his heart. And God stirred him and used him, and he came to UK. And God used him in mighty revival, but he was a humble man. He was such a humble man. And I'm sure I've told this story before. He came to Cambridge. His language was limited, his vocabulary. He didn't know many long words. Not many long words appeared in this preaching, and the academics mocked him. But the fire fell. The fire fell in Cambridge. And many of those who mocked were on their knees, were crying out to God for mercy. And they came up and they were shaking his hand afterwards. And that's what God can do in ordinary people. That's what we've been thinking about through Advent, are we ordinary people? God can, fire can fall. God can enlarge our hearts, give us a vision of himself, can change us so that we can be lights and witnesses. So yes, we're looking ahead to the new year. We're going to be praying for revival, but we can pray now. God can revive us today. God can revive us in this service today. God can ignite something new in our hearts. And God can change all our plans, and we have our revival meetings planned, we think, in next year. God can even stir something today. And it moves things, timescale, in a different direction. So, may we have that response of Mary. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.